Message is called Our Daily Bread. Turn to somebody to your left and to your right, behind you, in front of you, and say, let's eat daily bread together this morning. Tell them, no, we're not getting ready to do communion. That's the title of this message. I'm going to ask the audiovisual crew to put the first scripture up on the screen overhead, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. How many of you remember a time when you were at school? You'd get different types of and formats of being questioned, and then you get something that's known as multiple choice or monkey puzzle. It's multiple choice. And in some of the wrong answers, they give you the right answers as well, and it's about choosing. And God makes it so simple in the choice that we need to make. He gives us multiple choice, and He gives us the answer that we should choose anyway. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. It's not complicated. It is easy. It is straightforward. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. It says, today I've given you the choice between life and death, blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. There He gives you the options. And here He goes ahead and gives us the answer as well. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Father, we thank you that we have proclaiming your word so freely in our midst and in our presence, Father. We thank you that we can get around your word in a context like this, Lord. We thank you for this building. We thank you for the blessings that it brings. But more important than all of that, Lord God, thank you for your presence here, because we're two or more are gathered in your name. There you are in the midst of them. It's a blessing we do not take for granted. Father, we want to hear from you this morning and receive, and we want to leave this place changed today. Not just another Sunday behind us, or another sermon, or another wonderful time of fellowship, but we want to leave here changed and challenged, Lord, as we become more like Jesus. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. God gives us a choice. He says today. So when does this decision need to be made? Today. There's another passage in the scripture that says, now unto him. And this is the day of salvation. It's not for one day when I'm ready, one day I'm going to get a few things right in my life, then I'm going to start living for the Lord. No, it is now, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow is not a guarantee. We can do nothing about yesterday. All we have is the here and now. And in the here and now, we have the blessing and privilege of a free choice. We can choose today. A couple of weeks ago, I was having a conversation with somebody about struggles that individuals have. And I got to a point where I said to somebody, you know, at the end of the day, happiness is a choice. It's a choice. Sometimes we cannot determine what happens to us, but every single time we can choose how we react in that circumstance. Is it this or any other? We can choose. I can choose. I'm going to respond negatively or positively every time we have this choice. And God reminds us of this choice here. And the scripture speaks about our daily bread. Political parties and politicians spend millions on voting campaigns and election campaigns to prepare people and to try and persuade them and get their mind geared in a certain way to make a decision to cast a vote for them. However, if it's worth saying once, it's worth repeating. However, we have far more critical decisions to make on a daily basis. Far more critical. I'm going to do this. We have far more decisions to make, critical decisions on a daily basis. And God is calling us to make those decisions on a daily basis. Today, He's calling us to cast our votes. He gives us a clear call with clear consequences. He says, I'm putting before you today a blessing and cursing, death and life, lightness and darkness. He tells us what the consequences are, and then He gives us His clear command. It's not a suggestion, ladies and gentlemen. It is a clear command. And when Jesus teaches on prayer in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus speaks about our daily bread. I want to look at it not in the context of daily provision for what we need to live daily. Our daily bread is on the other side of our daily choices. And that determines the kind of bread that we can enjoy. We can experience the bread of life or the bread of affliction based on our daily choices. And our daily bread is on the other side of our decisions of obedience or disobedience. Quick obedience or delayed obedience. And the backdrop of the following verse in Joshua, God describes what his people went through from before they were brought out of Egypt, from the time of Abraham's obedience, where Abraham's name also changed from Abram to Abraham, up until the time where they in Egypt and where they're taken out of Egypt and on the way to the promised land. The backdrop of this following verse is that God explains through Joshua what happens to the people. He takes the memory back and says, guys, remember what it was like being disobedient to me. And remember what it was like being obedient to me. He's prepping them for a choice. Say, in case you've forgotten, remember, so let's bring it close to us today. Remember what it was like doing your own thing. Saying, nah, it's my time, it's my body, it's my life, it's my finances. I'm near it, isn't he? The scripture says that a man has nothing except such as been given to him from above. There's nothing that we have that's our own. The scripture says that it is God enables you to generate wealth. If you're sitting here this morning and you're wealthy, God has enabled you to generate that wealth. There's nothing that we can claim as our own, ladies and gentlemen. And he's saying, in case you've forgotten, remember what it was like when you done things your way. And then remember how radically your life changed when you started doing things my way. And with that backdrop, Joshua makes this statement in Joshua 24 and verse 15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, and he gives them a choice, and that's one of the challenges of the gospel. So many times when we minister in the context of the motorcycling fraternity, in die verlede mense het al gesê, "O, julle mag nie en julle mag nie drink en rook nie, nê?" Ja, ons mag. But I choose not to. For the sake of those that we're ministering to. For the sake, dis nie 'n hemel of hel saak, julle. Ja, you might smell like you've been to hell if you smoke, but it's not a heaven or hell issue. Julle mag nie rook of drink nie. No, you can. You can do what you want. But for the sake of those that we're ministering to, we choose not to. En nie net dit nie. Ek wil beheer en beheer wees van die keuses wat ek maak. I don't want Captain Morgan and Charles Glass and Jack and all those other boys determining the outcome of my actions. I want to be the one. I want to be the one. So dis nie, ja, jy mag nie. Ja, ons mag, man. As jy besope wil raak, dan gaan get besope then. You can do it. And Joshua is saying, guys, in light of these choices that we face, if you refuse to serve the Lord, chat, it's fine. But make your choice. Make your choice. We have to choose. He says, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served before the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? So it was those idols you made then, or the other idols that there are yet today. He says this, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the critical decisions we face today. And we might have a general blanket idea and saying, yes, I serve the Lord. Okay. But when it comes to us making decisions on a daily basis, guys, when we choose, am I going to do something that is a biblical principle? Or am I going to do something where I'm going to find favor in the world? Am I going to choose a biblical principle where I might lose some friends? Who I was speaking to somebody just recently, definitely within the last 2 weeks, they said to me how their lives have changed and they don't have so many friends anymore. I said, yeah, now you're starting to see who your real friends are. People who will stick with you through thick and thin, or those that are just with you when the party is at its peak. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So folks, the serving of the Lord, kom ons in, bring it on net bietjie nader aan die huis, dat jou diens teenoor die Here bepaal die daaglikse beslissings wat jy maak elke dag as dit kom by goddelike of wêreldse beginsels wat toegepas moet word in jou lewe. That's where it comes to serving them. Not just general, yes, I'm a believer, I'm born again, I'm assured of my salvation, I'm confident I'm going to heaven. But the day-to-day decisions that affect our lives. For example, you're riding, you see, it's like this with me on the road. Everybody in front of me is a slow coach. Everybody who overtakes me is a maniac. I'm the only one that's driving at the correct speed. That's my opinion. So iemand doen iets verkeerd in die verkeer. And then I want to baptize them and give them names that their parents didn't name them. Right there, I have a choice to serve the Lord. Am I going to honor the principles and the values of Jesus? Or because I'm on my own, and as die gemeentelede saam met my in die kar, I'm going to talk in other kind of tongues. That's, verstaan jy wat ek sê? Somebody does something to you, they greet you friendly, like, they say, good morning, and they say, listen, you need to calm down. What? Hoekom is jy so opgewonde? Hoekom glimlag jy? Kry jou tande warm. You know, so somebody offends you right there, in that moment, you have a choice. I can choose. You see, and it's that way that determines our daily bread. Well, what does that mean, Mozzie? Surely the daily bread is something that's already a portion for us for the day? No, it's not. Indirectly it is, but not completely. So that's the backdrop. Choose this day whom you will serve. Similarly, God shows us clearly what happens when we choose anything else other than His way. The following principle that I'm going to share with you will help us understand why the choices that we make determines the daily bread that we eat. Either we can partake in the bread of life or the bread of affliction. Now understand that persecutions are part and parcel of the Christian package. It comes with what we've called to do. If we lean into the presence of Christ and want to be like Jesus, it comes with onslaught, folks. There's conditions. T's and C's. Huh? T's and C's apply. It's not just give your life to Jesus and then everything's going to be wonderful. No, it's not. Whoever told you that didn't give you the complete gospel. You see, if we are to be partakers in His resurrection power, we are to be partakers in His suffering as well. Thank God none of us need to be nailed to a cross to pay for the sins of others, but there's a different kind of price. How many of you know? I know that you sitting here, you've had to pay a price several times, different prices, over and over and over, because you've said yes to Jesus. It's not easy. I want to say to you, folks, if your walk with Jesus up to now has been easy, you haven't been walking with Him long enough. Stick around. Stick around. But the good news is we're not alone. There's our worst case. I say this often because it's so true. Our worst case scenario as Christians is hope. The worst place that we could possibly be in is hope. Folks, that's more than a lot of people experience in a lifetime. There's so many people, there isn't even a tunnel, let alone light at the end of the tunnel, or a tunnel that but donker is. There's no prospect of hope. There's nothing to look forward to. As a Christian, the very least that we have is hope. And then from hope, you believe, where you become fully persuaded, you're convinced, you're way past hope, and then what you believe in God for becomes a reality in your life, and you live in the promises that He's given to you. So, this principle helps us understand how critical it is that the decisions that we make determines the type of bread that we enjoy on a daily basis. Okay, listen to this. I know it, I don't need to read it. If you sow a thought, I'll say sign, eh? If you sow a thought, you're going to reap an action. If you reap an action, if you sow an action, let me start that again. Rewind. If you sow a thought, I wanted to give it the credit that it's due, man. If you sow a thought, you're going to reap an action. If you sow an action, you're going to reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you're going to reap a lifestyle. And if you sow a lifestyle, you're going to reap your destiny. Think about that. So folks, it's in that critical watershed moment where we face these choices on a daily basis. Things happened to me this week, as I'm sure they happened to you as well, where I was faced with that choice. And I honestly had to look in the mirror. And I did it again this morning. I got dressed in my biking gear, all the safety protection, and my habit is I sit on the end of the bed. The dressing table is that side, and it's got one of those big tilting mirrors in the middle, and those on the side, you know, those dressing tables that are on sit in van die, on the ons nie Colette has. Mind you, I use it as well. You know that, by the way, every mirror is second hand. Every mirror is second hand. It's been used before. I sat on the edge of the bed and I looked at myself and I said, yeah. I'm not going to tell you the conversation that I had with the Lord, but it's like that with us. Every day we face these decisions, and it starts with the thought. If you sow a thought, you reap an action. Sow an action, you're going to reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a lifestyle. Sow a lifestyle, and you reap your destiny. Met ander woorde, daar waar jy gaan eindig. That where you're going to spend eternity. Folks, do you know how long eternity is? It's a long, long time. When it comes to spiritual matters, think about this, and I'm going to translate this to some of my eating habits. And we joke about it, and people joke about it, and it's great. It's wonderful that we can banter with each other and tease each other like that without taking each other too seriously. We're speaking about lifestyle choices and choosing what to eat and what you should and what you shouldn't, etc. And somebody said, you know, life is so short, you know, why do you want to die healthy? I said, okay, that's valid, but why do you want to live sick? You know? So like how eating has consequences for what we eat, and some people have more consequences than others. But there's consequences for the spiritual decisions that we make every day that determines our bread. So when it starts with that thought, let us remind ourselves of this truth. Where's the devil's playground? You might say, oh, is it the brothel? Is it the war-torn fields of the world? Or is it the offices of parliament? Here, between your left ear and between your right ear. That's where the devil's playground is. That's where he comes for you. And what does he do? If he comes outright with a blatant lie, you probably won't believe it, but he sows those seeds of doubt. His modus operandi from the Garden of Eden hasn't changed up until today. Did God really say that you can't eat of the fruit of that tree? And when we entertain those thoughts of doubt, the enemy has a stronghold in our lives. So bearing that mind, that principle, we'll understand that it starts with the simple choices that we make on a daily basis. Why did I do that? The verkeerde plekkie gedruk hier. Okay. Right. Here we are. Okay. When it comes to habits, it's guesstimated. In other words, I haven't scientifically proved it or verified this, but it's guesstimated. It takes, and I've tried it and it has worked in my life. It takes approximately 21 days to form or break a habit. 21 days. You say, well, you know, I tried to give up whatever for 5 days and I couldn't handle it anymore. Like, rarig, just get a grip and try a little bit harder. 21 days approximately to form a new habit or to break an old habit that you're trying to get out of. So if you think it's difficult to get up earlier in the morning to train your body to do something or whatever, yeah, it might be a little bit easier in the summertime, but in the wintertime, when that spirit of duvet overcomes you, and you just, you want to pick it longer lay. I know I've suffered the same challenges as other people. Get up when it's gone. If you can get that habit done in the challenging times, man, you're going to see and reap the rewards in your life. So, what choices are there that you have been making up to now that you realize need to change? You think about that. All right. Let's not for 1 minute think that choosing to follow Jesus Christ is going to be a walk in the park. Well, what does the scripture say? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and everyone who wants to live godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. So bear that in mind when we make these choices. Don't think, well, you know, I I've given my life to the Lord and all of this is going wrong. Well, it's because you're becoming a threat to the devil. It's because you're becoming more like Jesus. It's because your mind is being renewed through the Word of God. That's why. It's because you're living out God's purposes and His call on your life. The enemy will want to come and mess with you and stop you from doing that. And folks, the good news is, you know, we'll all have to go through our personal Gethsemane. That's what I call it. Where you're absolutely alone. Where those closest to you will leave you and abandon you. There's no circle of support around you. The disciples with Jesus in the garden, remember. He asked, guys, just stick with me for an hour. That's all I'm asked. Just stick with me and pray with me. I think it's one of the most times we can see just how real Jesus is. He calls on his friends, his disciples. He's been with them for just 3.5 years odd. And he says, guys, I need you now. Just be with me, please. You know, and the Peters of the world say, yes, Lord, you know, others might leave you, but I'm going to be with you till the end. And he looks around. Where were they? Sleeping. Cupping the doors. Lack any time. And I used to mock them. I used to think, yes, these muchus. If it was me, I would be there with Jesus. No, Mossy, I wouldn't. You read the scripture. You know what the scripture says that they were sleeping from? Not fatigue. Sorrow. Imagine being so sorrowful that you cannot stay awake. They couldn't handle what Jesus was going through. And he was on his own. And when we make these decisions, guys, where we choose and say, Lord, I want the bread of life. I don't want the bread of affliction. I want the best that heaven has to offer. We make the decision. There are times where we will have to do it alone. You're going to have to do it alone. That's why it's called taking a step of faith. There will be times where it's not all clear, plainly set out before you. Because then, who would need faith? If you can clearly see the outcome and the consequences, well, it doesn't require faith. You just go ahead and do it. But it's when you cannot see. When you've got to trust God's word at face value and take it and believe it for what it says, that's when it requires faith. There will be times when we're completely alone. When we have our personal Gethsemane. But folks, most of the time, it will be in this context. Most of the time, you'll have a support structure. Most of the time, you'll have a brother or sister in Christ that you can phone. Most of the time, if you've got your blessed assurance there, there'll be a care group that you can get involved in and do life together and see that, you know what, ain't look, you think you're okay, but you're not okay. And not only, it's not about you being fixed all the time, it's about the blessings and the gifts that